Are y'all ready to go? All right. If the clerk will call the next case, please.
The court will now call Middleton Family Limited Partnership versus Gregory Video. And may it please the court, Ms. Cynthia Hollingsworth, the Arkansas appellant, Mr. Bobby Newbart, the Arkansas attorney for the appellant, Ms. Collins Claxton, the Arkansas second for 8 minutes for the appellant.
Ms. Hollingsworth.
Good morning, Your Honors. This case involves approximately 40 acres in Denton County that's been in the Lennon family for over 70 years. Mr. Lennon conveyed the property to the Lennon II family trust, no, family partnership, excuse me. So technically, Lennon II, which I'll refer to as Lennon, is the owner. Unfortunately, the 96-year-old Mr. Lennon was critically ill and unable to testify, and unfortunately he died not long after trial. But as a result, Mr. Gidio was able to capitalize on his absence and give the jury only Mr. Gidio's version of the events that led to this lawsuit. Lennon claims that Mr. Gidio grossly took advantage of his so-called friendship with Mr. Lennon and stole select field property and allowed terrible irreparable damage to the property, pocketing $700,000 or more from the sale of Mr. Lennon's property. Mr. Gidio claims that he was doing Mr. Lennon a favor, or Lennon II a favor, in order that the property could be readied for development. Unfortunately, like I said, Mr. Lennon wasn't able to testify, and in many regards, the jury found, and admittedly, in Mr. Gidio's favor. But the jury found that in questions 7 and 8 that both Mr. Gidio and AGL converted the property to select fill. Select fill is a term of art. It's not just dirt. It's a particular kind of earth that's necessary in highway projects. This was used for the I-35 construction up near Denton. Where there's evidence of an objective injury, the jury must award some damages. Here, the jury found that both Mr. Gidio and AGL converted Lennon's property, the select-fill soil, and importantly, neither Mr. Gidio nor AGL challenges the finding of conversion. So it's beyond.
Is there any evidence in this record of what the fair market value of the fill is, just the fill itself, not any other services such as excavating the fill?
Yes, there is, because the argument being made here that was valued, I think it's a self-serving argument that was the value after the services had been in there. But AGL and Gidio don't really dispute that the property had some value.
Did you have an expert or your own party testify to what the value was?
Well, there was objective evidence of the value of the property. The jury found that AGL converted from AGL's own employee, Svela, that the value of the property was $4 per cubic yard, which is
for the fill or for the property?
Oh, excuse me. When I said fill, property, I meant fill for the property that was taken, the select fill that was taken. Also, Ethan Cox, who is the director of the City of Denton Landfill, testified that the value of common fill soil is about $375 per ton. Casey Padgett, an environmental contractor, testified regarding the difference in the value of common fill, which is what Mr. Cox had talked about, and select fill soil. The cost of select fill soil is greater than common fill soil, which is about $13.25 per cubic yard. Importantly, AGL admitted in its closing argument and at trial, and in fact contended, that it paid fair market value for it. So it validated this evidence. It was confusing whether the $4 per cubic yard, whether the $700,000 did or did not contemplate the services that were rendered. If you look at the AGL agreement with Judio, it talks about $4 per cubic yard without that being a gross figure. In other words, it was a net figure. As the court well knows, if there's objective evidence of an injury, and here it can't be disputed that there was, because there's an unchallenged finding that the property was converted, the jury can't just disregard that finding and say that it has zero value.
But part of the mix, the evidentiary mix, you're not saying that there's just a generalized injury. For us to hold that there's factually insufficient evidence, your side has to present evidence that meets the standard of what the applicable measure of damage is.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm saying that the evidence that I just referred to,
okay,
while it doesn't come out and say, in fact, there was an expert that says the fair market value is $700,000. Those witnesses' testimony established the fair market value, which AGL agreed with, that it paid. AGL and Judio mistakenly argue that in order to reverse the court, that Lennon must have conclusively proven the amount of damages. But that would only be correct if Lennon was asking the court to reverse and render damages, which Lennon is not doing. It's asking the court to reverse and remand. The cases hold that Lennon was required to show its entitlement to damages, not entitlement to a specific amount of damages.
So you're saying you don't have a burden of proof to prove a specific amount of damages?
Correct. The burden of proof is to show that Lennon was injured, which the jury found, and that it suffered some damages. In cases where it is not the amount of damages is not conclusively proven, the court must remand it for a finding. And that,
so you get a do-over. You get a remand. You get a do-over when you didn't produce sufficient evidence for a jury to find a specific amount of damages.
That's a factual sufficiency argument. And this court held in Hammett, Cornelison, Fix It Today, and Herridge Operating that when there's evidence of damages but it's not conclusively proven, as the court is suggesting, that the court must remand it. It cannot ignore the jury finding that there was
that presupposes that you did put on there. We can find some evidence in the record that meets the applicable measure of damages of fair market value just with respect to the soil.
Yes, Your Honor, and I can cite you.
That's
to
all right.
Testimony,
no.
But the record sites are in the brief. I know that some of the record sites are at three reporters records 79 and 80, 4 RR 232, 33, 7 RR 58 and 60 as to the measure of the fair market value. AGL, the jury found that AGL converted the property, but AGL contends that it's not liable because the jury found that it was a good faith purchaser. But in a conversion case, it's no defense as a matter of law that a defendant acted in good faith. And in a conversion case, even an innocent purchaser, or an innocent taking rather, can support a finding of conversion. The jury specifically found that Lennon had not expressly or impliedly assented to the taking or disposition of this property. Moreover, as a matter of fact, there's insufficient evidence that AGL was a bona fide purchaser.
Then why is not the finding of conversion against Judio an irreconcilable finding with regard to the jury also finding that there was an agreement to allow Judio to do the exact thing that he did?
And we can turn to that now if you'd like. The reason why is, and I'm going to preface it with just a little bit, but I'm going to answer your question. Lennon, throughout trial, argued that, you know, Mr. Lennon had been taken advantage of, and there really hadn't been an agreement, and there hadn't been this or that. But nonetheless, as the Judge Birdwell points out, the jury found that there was an agreement based on this multicolored writing that doesn't show up very clearly unless you look at it online. It doesn't show up very clearly in the brief. But this agreement, if it's you know, which the jury found, says that the agreement is to remove all interior trees, strip topsoil 6 inches, cut to a new grade, and drain to the west. And then it says at completion, Lennon gets his property ready for development. Gidio gets trees, mulch, borrow soil, and use of the property. There's nothing in this agreement that gives Gidio the right to sell soil. He's, if anything, under the agreement, he's got borrow soil, and but yet he sold 170,000 cubic yards of it. It's important also to focus on the many, many text messages and emails that were going back and forth from AGL to Mr. Gidio, and this relates to really all of our issues. With AGL's acknowledgement that it needed the agreement from the property owner and didn't have it. And if you look at Plaintiff's Exhibit 11, which is attached as Appendix C to our brief, there's a string of emails going back and forth. We got to have the property owner's consent. And they were concerned about two things. One is they wanted to make sure they didn't have to return the property. Because many times it's borrow soil, where you take the soil, and but then you replace it with something else. And they also wanted to know that they had permission to dump construction waste on the property. The string of emails in Appendix C shows that up to and after the date this three-colored writing was signed, the agreement that Judge Birdwell was asking you about, AGL knew it did not have Lennon's permission. And even after the agreement was signed, now that's Plaintiff's Exhibit 11. That's
well, AGL wasn't actually doing any of the grading. AGL wasn't actually doing any of the grading or any of the removal. Gidio was doing all of the grading and the removal.
Well, it was loading. Yes, I think that's accurate. And then AGL was taking the property.
So really what you're talking about here is AGL didn't buy that the agreement authorized Gidio to do what they needed him to be able to do in order to buy the dirt.
I believe that AGL, I'm not sure I understood that, but I believe AGL argues that because Gidio had permission to do whatever he wanted to with the property, he could sell it. But in plaintiffs...
That were true. And that's what the agreement, they believed that from the agreement, that they wouldn't, then they wouldn't need the agreement of the property owner.
But they didn't believe it. Plaintiff's Exhibit 16 is a three-party agreement that on numerous occasions AGL tried to get Mr. Lennon to sign. Mr. Lennon flat out refused to do it. In Plaintiff's Exhibit 19 on November the 12th, which is after the date of this the colored writing that was the agreement, AGL's writing to internal memo saying, I don't know what was wrong with the one-page agreement. It makes me worried. The two big things I was worried about is the owner warrants he owns the property, and it's understood that we aren't obligated to bring back all the material. And in the preceding emails on that, they forwarded this agreement, which they put in quotes saying, here's the agreement that Gidio has with the landowner. The landowner decided he did not want to sign our agreement. And this is on Plaintiff's Exhibit 19. So the owner and the Gidio drafted this attached agreement that Judge Birdwell just asked about. Gidio stated the reason there's not a quantity indicated is because the design's not completed. This so-called agreement, which they put in quotes, did say that Gidio could remove soil as needed and respread with topsoil. Now, that has to be read in conjunction with all the emails and the text messages going back and forth saying the AGL didn't have but needed the landowner's permission. But when they met with the landowner, they didn't show him this three-party agreement that he had refused to sign before. They didn't ask him permission, is it okay if we take some soil as part of our deal with Mr. Gidio and not give it back? They didn't ask Mr. Lennon if it was okay to dump. So AGL and Gidio knew that Mr. Lennon had not agreed to the taking, which was the conversion, or the dumping, which was the trespass.
Thank you. Mr. Rebarts?
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Your Honors, I represent the appellee Gregory Gidio and Southern Underground. And, Your Honors, as you said and recognized, it was the burden of the appellants to prove the market value of the property they alleged was converted. They did not call an expert to the stand, and the evidence that they point to now, it does not establish what they claim, because these people, Ethan Cox, he wasn't qualified as an expert, he didn't testify as an expert, he gave the price for what Denton County charged in 2018 for common fill, which is not select fill, which is the dirt at issue here, not the same product, not the same time, not the same place. Paget gave a price for common fill that included transportation costs in 2016. Not the time of the conversion, not the same product. They say that Paget testified, well, select fill would have been more, but no, he didn't, because when you ask it the question, it was, yes, sir, thank you, does select fill cost more? And he said, I would have to have a calculator to tell you that. So there was no evidence, although the appellant claims it, there was no evidence that select fill would cost more. So there was never any evidence whatsoever of what select fill would have cost at the time in August, in November 2014.
Well, AGL was in the market for select fill, was it not?
AGL was, yes.
And AGL was not in possession of the land. AGL was simply purchasing the fill from you, was he not?
But it didn't purchase only select fill. The contract shows that there were valuable services included with it, which was grading it, excavating it, loading it. And so,
but those were not services directed to AGL.
Yes, sir, they were.
How? It wasn't AGL's property.
Gidio
was doing those services pursuant to an agreement with Lennon. Because
correct.
That's the agreement. We're going to modify the land, and as part of modifying the land, we're going to landscape whatever I don't need with regard to the landscape, I'm going to sell.
That's
AGL
exactly.
Was purchasing the refuse, the soil coming off the top. It wasn't purchasing the services for obtaining the soil, because that was something that was being done for somebody else, the actual property owner.
What the contract between AGL and Southern Underground shows is that AGL was purchasing services from Gidio to excavate the select fill, to load the select fill on the trucks, to maintain roads that needed to be maintained because there weren't roads on this land. So a road had to be made, asphalt had to be put down on it. So all of those services were encompassed within what AGL paid Mr. Gidio. And so that's why there's an incomplete calculation on the issue of select fill. There's no way to tell from the evidence that came in any number for select fill that AGL purchased from Gidio. And so that's why, with no evidence whatsoever on this point, there's no right to a remand and to a do-over. And the fundamental basis of the argument that Lennon 2 is making here is that you presume an injury when there's a conversion found. But if you look at the question, there's nothing in question 7 about whether there's an injury. In fact, what the Texas Supreme Court has said is that damages are not presumed in a conversion. Instead, damages are limited to the amount necessary to compensate the plaintiff for the actual losses and injury sustained. That is the burden of proof that the plaintiff had, and which it didn't meet here. Not just insufficient evidence, but no competent evidence.
What's your best Supreme Court case for damages are not presumed in conversion?
The case we cite to two is the United Mobile Networks versus Deaton. And in that case, the court starts out by saying, this case involves the proper proof of the measure of damages in a conversion case. You know, that's in our brief, United Mobile versus Deaton Networks. And so without that proof, there's no right to remand. Your Honor, in fact, in this case, you know, as Justice Birdwell observed, the jury found that there was a contract. And let me say this about the contract in case I run out of time. What they argue in their brief is that they contested throughout that this contract should come into evidence. But what happened is that the plaintiffs offered the contract themselves. Plaintiffs Exhibit 18, they offered it into evidence, and without objection, it was admitted on in Volume 2, page 11 of the record. They offered this contract. So this contract was in evidence in part because they put it in. In this case, there was substantial evidence that GDO's removal of the soil from the Hickory Creek land, it didn't harm Lennon. Instead, as you observed, the removal of this dirt was part of this project that GDO was doing from Mr. Lennon, and the evidence was that the work required would cost about $1 million, but Mr. Lennon didn't want to pay cash for it, and so they came up with an agreement that Mr. GDO would do the land transformation services, but he could use byproducts of the land. He could sell the soil. He could sell.
What evidence is there in the record that the actual improvement of the land, that is clearly a term of the agreement, was actually being done? There's evidence of a pit. There's evidence of putting asphalt on the land, which is not an improvement of the land. What evidence is there actually in the record that indicates that your client was actually doing what he agreed to do, which was doing all of this with the byproduct being his to use for purposes of rendering his service?
I'll refer you to Mr. Gidio's testimony. He testified directly that everything he was doing was solely related to this project. He testified that he had partially performed and he would have completed the project but for the son taking over and coming in and getting an injunction and stopping him from the job. So the damage that was done here, if there was any, was because he was stopped in the midst of the project. The jury heard that evidence that all of this related to the project agreement. He was in the process of doing the job. He would have finished the job. He looked the jury in the eye and said, I would have finished the job had I not been stopped. So there was no harm caused by Mr. GDO moving the dirt. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Klatsky.
Please the court. I'm Howard Klatsky. I'm here today representing the remaining appellees, specifically AGL Constructors, which is a joint venture consisting of Archer Western Contractors, Granite Construction Company, and the Lane Construction Group. The appellant, from our perspective, has not demonstrated that the jury's findings are clearly wrong or manifestly unjust. And I want to begin by briefly touching on a topic that you've heard a lot about, and that is the finding of zero damages. It is well within, it's well established under Texas law that juries are given, quote, great discretion when considering damages-related evidence, and the jury's decision to award zero damages is a decision in this case that is not against the great weight and preponderance of evidence. The Lennon claim of injury and whether there was an injury was hotly contested in this case. The jury was told that the market value of the dirt fluctuates dramatically and that there are times when landowners actually have no market for the dirt, and in those instances, the landowners are required to incur millions of dollars in excavating and hauling costs if their goal is to get their land ready for development. The jury also heard about AGL's purchase of the dirt and work that Mr. Gidio and his business did on the property that actually alleviated the need for Lennon to do the work that Mr. Giglio was doing until Mr. Lennon's son shut it down. The appellant, as discussed, presented no evidence as to market value at the time of dirt removal, and the expenses that Mr. Lennon would have had to incur getting his property ready for development, according to the testimony that was presented to the jury, would have far exceeded the sum of money that AGL paid Mr. Giglio for the dirt. So in sum, we believe that the record reflects the fact that a jury could reasonably conclude that the work that was being done by Mr. Giglio actually resulted in a windfall as opposed to a damage to Mr. Lennon. Getting to the case law that all the parties have cited, we do not think that the appellant has presented any objective evidence of damages. Instead, the damages that they argued and attempted to prove at trial were subjective based upon the information that I was just discussing, and its failure or inability to present objective evidence of damages, like the appellant in As versus Morgan, is fatal. And I would quote from the Hammett case, which comes out of this court, when a plaintiff's complaints are subjective in nature, a negative answer of the jury to a damage issue will not be disturbed. Now that leads me to the next issue, and one that specifically relates to AGL. The jury found in response to question 9 that AGL was a bona fide purchaser of the dirt for value. And that term was defined for the jury as one who acquires the property in good faith for value without notice of a prior third-party claim or interest. We submit that this definition is a proper definition under Texas common law as recognized in Carter versus Cookie Coleman. Now, in the briefing, appellant suggests...
Was there an objection to that instruction or that question?
I don't recall off the top of my head, Your Honor. I apologize. Unfortunately, I was not trial counsel. But what I would say is that in the briefing, the appellant suggests that this Carter case is an outlier. We disagree. This affirmative defense that we're talking about, which is the bona fide purchaser for value, was previously recognized by the Austin Court of Appeals in the NRG Exploration versus Rauch case dating back to 1984, and recently recognized by the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas in two cases, Pamex Exploration versus BASF decided in 2013, and Dynamic Production versus SEMA Energy decided in 2018, which specifically cites to the Carter case. This affirmative defense is also in harmony with the good faith purchaser defense included in the Texas version of the UCC. The finding of the jury on this issue was supported by a substantial amount of evidence and testimony. The jury was told that the first 50,000 cubic yards of dirt that my client purchased were owned by Mr. Giglio, not by Mr. Lane. The jury heard testimony and saw the handwritten agreement that's been discussed at significant length this morning that gave Mr. Giglio the mulch, borrow, and soil and use of the property. The jury also heard testimony about a prior agreement that Mr. Lennon had entered into for the sale of, I believe it was 20,000 yards of cubic dirt to J.D. Abrams, which was another handwritten agreement, and the parties had performed under the terms of that agreement. So the bottom line is that the evidence and the testimony would clearly and easily allow a reasonable fact finder to conclude that this transaction, from the purpose of AGL, was an ordinary commercial transaction, and notably, my client paid a substantial amount of consideration. The case law that opposing counsel cites to, most of those cases, you've got someone claiming to be a good faith purchaser who never tendered any consideration. My client tendered approximately $700,000. And the jury's answer to question 9 demonstrates that it believed that AGL did what it did in good faith. That was one of the elements that the jury was charged with in the question. And it's likely that the jury believed that Mr. Lennon refused to sign the third-party agreement that was presented to him simply because he did not like, he did not believe in, or he did not feel comfortable using formal legal documents. And if you look back at his transaction with J.D. Abrams, that would be a reasonable finding for a jury to make, because the agreement he made with J.D. Abrams was not a formal legal contract.
AGL never had any agreement, verbal or otherwise, with Mr. Lennon.
I agree with you, sir,
okay.
And I would also suggest to the court, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but the fraud claim that was dismissed on directed verdict is supported by what Your Honor just said. We had virtually no communications. We certainly made no representations, verbal or in writing, and I see my light is yellow. The agreement that was presented to Mr. Lennon that he refused to sign, that took place before Mr. Lennon signed the handwritten agreement with Mr. Giddio. Giddio turned around, presented that handwritten agreement to AGL, and AGL clearly could have believed that it was authorized to go onto the land and do exactly what it did.
But the jury found that AGL and Giddio weren't authorized to do it because they found that there was a conversion.
The jury found a conversion, but the jury also, as Your Honor noted earlier, found that there was no breach of contract, and more importantly, the jury awarded no damages, and the jury found that my client was a bona fide purchaser for value. So, from our perspective,
isn't that like saying that there's a trespass, but there's also an easement? Why are those not irreconcilable conflicts?
Your Honor, that's a fair question, and all I can do is look at what the jury was charged with and what the jury actually did.
But the trespass questions ask whether there was an entry that was authorized. The conversion question asks about the personal property.
Yes, so. Sir. And if I'm recalling correctly, the jury found no trespass, which I think is clearly supported by the evidence and the testimony, which is what I was touching on a moment ago. Mr. Giddio expressly authorized us to come onto the property and do exactly what we did. I see my time is out. I thank the panel very much for its time. We ask that the findings of the jury be affirmed.
Thank you. Ms. Hollingsworth?
Briefly, in response to the appellee's arguments, they're confusing the issues regarding injury and damages. There must be objective evidence of it's not objective evidence of damages that's required. It's objective evidence of injuries that is required. Mr. Giddio's lawyer refers to the Deaton case as its best case for from the Supreme Court. In Deaton, with regard to whether damages are not presumed, in Deaton, is not applicable because there was no proof whatsoever of any damages because there was no proof of any injury. There, well, the defendant had photocopied something. It hadn't stolen it. And so Deaton doesn't have any application to this case because it wasn't really a conversion case. The evidence that they both appellees refer to, that it would have cost $1 million, that they're saving Mr. Lennon money, that one statement came from AGL's Vela. When he was out at the property, when they went out there, they still hadn't gotten Mr. Lennon's agreement to do this, and that evidence that they referred to, that it was going to cost $1 million, was AGL's own employee saying, oh, wow, it's going to cost you $1 million to get this property to, you know, ready for development. So it's their own self-serving statement that was probably used to perpetuate the fraud that the jury was not allowed to ask about, that they're referring to as to say that there was no damage to the property. We can see that there's not sufficient specific evidence of damages to reverse and render, but we do believe that the evidence shows that there was some damage, and therefore the court must reverse the zero damage finding with regard to conversion. Again, with regard to the trespass, you know,
basically you're arguing that because the soil had value and that the evidence conclusively established that the soil had value and that soil was being removed as the possession
without
of
permission.
Lennon without the permission
as
and the conversion
line.
Finding that there's an injury there.
Yes, Your Honor. That's our position. And that jury finding is not challenged. The only thing that's challenged is whether that 170,000 cubic yards, which is nowhere mentioned in this agreement, that both AGL and Gidio used to justify their action, nowhere is it mentioned that soil would be taken. What the agreement says that they would remove the topsoil. The purpose, if this does reflect the party's agreement, which we the jury found, was to level the property and have it slope to the west for drainage. You can see the photographs in the first few pages of our brief that shows the big pit and the water and the rebar and, first of all, with regard to conversion, the big pit. That wasn't scraping 6 inches of soil. They're digging big, deep pits. Now, that relates to the conversion. With regard to the other photographs, it shows that the concrete rubble, the rebar, the asphalt that was dumped onto the property, AGL admitted dumping on the property. Mr. Gidio testified one time he gave AGL permission to do it. On another time, he testified that he didn't give him permission to dump this construction waste. But there was sufficient evidence. In fact, the evidence supported a finding that there was trespass, and the jury's failure to find is against the great weight and preponderance of the evidence. We also think that the use of this agreement to be argued, well, there was and wasn't an agreement. Mr. Gidio had this authority. If you look at it, there's nowhere on there that even if you take AGL and Gidio's argument that this writing reflected an agreement that gave Mr. Gidio authority to use the property, use of the property does not include selling $170,000 and pocketing the money for the value of that property. Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both for your arguments today. They have been very helpful to the court. And your case is now submitted, and you are excused, and we are going to adjourn for the morning.